You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. We have reached the conclusion of our week covering Trevor Bauer and whether the Mets should pursue him in free agency. And I will finally give you my answer on whether they should go all in on this ace pitcher. In the first half of the show, I'm going to talk about the contract Trevor Bauer can expect to get and how much money the Mets have to offer. Then in the second half of the show, I'll talk about whether the Mets should sign Bauer or go another route in free agency. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Now, speaking of MetsMorize, our tax guy, Christopher Soto, has put out there the finances now that Cano's money is off the books for 2021, and here is how it looks. Their actual payroll is $126.6 million. Their luxury tax payroll is $140.6 million. And this is after his $20.25 million came off the books, both in their payroll and his luxury tax number of $20 million came off the books. With all that being said, the Mets now has $69.4 million under the 2021 tax line before they become first-level penalty offenders. Now, one other interesting note about Cano. Tim Healy of Newsday did some reporting, and it turns out the money that Seattle would have sent Cano, that actually goes to the Mets. The Mets pay him his full $24 million, and they get reimbursed by Seattle. So that money is still coming to the Mets. So luckily, after Steve Cohen paid out all those buyouts, he got a nice little check in the mail that he can reimburse into payroll now from Seattle. With all that being said, let's talk about what Bauer can expect to make. If you go to last year, Gerrit Cole was coming off a Cy Young caliber season, although his teammate Justin Verlander actually took home the prize, and he got a 9-year, $324 million contract from the New York Yankees. Now, the average annual value of that deal was $36 million. If you look at Bauer as a Cy Young winner, I'm sure he's going into these meetings and saying, give me Gerrit Cole money. Give me $36 million a year. Give me, I don't know if he wants 9 years, but you know, give me 7 years at $36 million. And I'm sure he wants opt-outs in that contract because this is a guy in the past who talked about wanting to sign one-year deals in free agency each year and trying to maximize his value that way. Well, he just won a Cy Young. I think his agent has talked a little bit of sense into him on that. And I think he's going to get the long-term security with the flexibility to retest the market after, if not this season, I could see an opt-out after year two where the collective bargaining agreement will have already come and hopefully come to pass where they have agreed to it between the players and the owners. It's going to be very contentious. So I could see if I'm Bauer, give me a contract that's maybe even front-loaded a little bit. So the first 2 years are where I'm going to make some really good money, and I can retest the market after year two. If I pitch great and I'm a Cy Young the next 2 years, you're going to want to retest that market. So I think that might be the type of contract he's going to be looking for. Now, what is he going to get? Zach Wheeler, last offseason, I think blew a lot of people away. I remember thinking, you know, maybe he'd sign around $18 million a year for 5 years. I think I was talking about the Mets signing him to a 5-year, $90 million contract extension. Ends up getting 5 years and $118 million from the Phillies with an average annual value of $23.6 million. If you go in between those two contracts, the Zach Wheeler money and the Gerrit Cole money, you're looking at just under $30 million a year. If you meet in the middle on the years too, maybe you're talking about a seven-year, $205 million contract for Trevor Bauer. That'd be $29 a year, maybe a little bit front-loaded, with an opt-out after the second season. That is a contract that I would not be surprised if he signed coming out of this free agency. But let's look at some of the other sites that project some of this. Spotrac says his market value is $21.8 million. Very interesting. That's less than Zach Wheeler. Does that mean that's what he's going to get? Is that a prediction? No, that's his market value. You go to MLB Trade Rumors, they predicted he would sign a four-year, $128 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers. That would be $32 million a year. I think the bottom line conclusion from all of this is I believe Trevor Bauer will sign the richest contract of this free agency as far as average annual value. I don't know if George Springer or JT Realmuto will talk some team into getting some more years than Bauer, and maybe they get more overall money. I'm not quite sure he'll get the most overall money because this is a guy that might bet on himself on a shorter deal with really high average annual value. But I believe when it comes to AAV, Trevor Bauer is going to win this free agency. Now, if you're the Mets, the decision now lies in how much you're willing to pay him. If you're looking at $69.4 million of available spending and he gets 30, that's about half of your budget. Because you also have to remember that most teams don't want to be right up against that tax line going into the season, because then you don't have the financial flexibility at the deadline to maybe do some things and absorb a salary if you want an impact player at the trade deadline. So most teams probably want to be looking at maybe $10 million of wiggle room, even if it's a little bit less, somewhere in there where you can potentially add a player and not worry about becoming a luxury tax team. So the question now is, should the Mets spend half of their budget on one player? And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit more in just a minute. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with 18 amazing flavors, including their 6 new flavors. The Caramel Brownie Bar, Cookies and Cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and the Apple Almond Crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars, come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy too. Come in low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So now let's finally get down to it. Should the Mets sign Trevor Bauer? Talked about this throughout the week, giving you a lot of different angles to look at it. Go back to Tuesday's show, explored the market. What other starting pitchers could interest the Mets? What other starting pitchers had the Mets talked to? We went through the names of Charlie Morton, Corey Kluber, and Mike Minor. And there's also a lot more on the market who we do not know yet the Mets have talked to, but could at least interest them. You also have the trade market. Carlos Carrasco for the Indians could be included in a Francisco Lindor trade. Lance Lynn is out there in Texas. We know he's on the block, so that could be another name the Mets add. On Wednesday, I dug into the numbers from Trevor Bauer's season. I even convinced myself a little bit, looking at how good he was, his advanced spin rate, the ability to throw 4+ strikeout pitches, with his fastball, his curveball, his slider, and his cutter. This is a cerebral pitcher, and you heard more of that on Thursday, where I brought in a super fan when it comes to Trevor Bauer, Ben Fox, who raved about what this guy can do for the Mets, not only on the mound, but with his personality, with his ability to affect the other pitchers, and to be a big part of the new analytics department for the Mets to really help bring that information to the next level. All of that has been discussed, but here's what it comes down to. The money. And the Mets have too many needs to go out and sign this pitcher. I hate to say that because I do think he'd have a great impact on this team overall. But you look right now at where their money is focused, and it is now nearly $19 million to Stroman. You have Jacob DeGrom's big contract. You're going to invest $30 more million in your starting rotation and forget about the rest of your roster that has some holes. I don't think that's the wisest way to spend that money on a single pitcher. If the Mets spent $30 million on pitching, they can probably get two starters that are quality starters, might not be aces, but quality starters, and at least one arm out of their bullpen. Hell, they might be able to get two arms out of to affect their bullpen and to affect their rotation. I think there's some bargain shopping that's going to be done this offseason if you wait out teams where you're going to get a couple nice arms that are going to fall to you. So how do the Mets spend their money? I've been saying all offseason they're going to get one star this offseason. I really believe that they were going to get a star, whether it was Lindor, Springer, Realmuto, or Bauer. Now with Cano coming off the books for this year, the Mets can dream about adding two stars and still having money to flesh out the rest of their roster and address some needs. So George Springer has kind of gone all the way up to the top of my list as I've thought about this more. And now that we know McNeil can slide back into second, I think Brandon Nimmo now is a player that should stay put. Even in a Lindor trade, I would have Nimmo as your starting left fielder. You sign Trevor Bauer. He plays center. You got Michael Conforto in right. Malik Smith just came in as an addition. He is the perfect fourth outfielder that will never see the field as a starter at this point because he's not a great hitter, but he's a switch hitter that can play good defense and can run and be a pinch runner. And you have guys like Jeff McNeil and Dominic Smith and potentially JD Davis that can go out there and play in the outfield if someone gets hurt. So that's the way I would attack the outfield this offseason. Getting Springer, keeping Nemo and Conforto, and Malik Smith is your dirt cheap fourth outfielder. And you can bring in more of those guys on minor league contracts like your Ryan Cordells, Billy Hamiltons, and others. I mean, those guys are out there. So if that's your first star, I've been all in on Francisco Lindor. I say that's your second star. He is going to cost you about $21 million through arbitration. Springer maybe costs 22 to 25, somewhere in that range. So let's just say all in, maybe you spend $45 million on those two players. From there, you would still have $25 million to spend under that luxury tax where you can address everything else. Like I said, you probably want to give yourself some wiggle room, but the Mets can go out and get one starter like a Morton and Odorizzi or something like that, bring that guy in, probably still have money to bring in a flyer guy like a Corey Kluber or a John Lester coming off down years or injuries. And from there, maybe you can move some stuff around to bring in a bullpen arm, and I don't know what you do at catcher, but if the Mets address this offseason, center field and shortstop of George Springer and Francisco Lindor, you've now significantly improved the two most important positions on the diamond. It's just that simple. These guys would take the Mets from being a bottom half of the league team defense, and they would skyrocket them somewhere in the top. You would have a team now that fits, and that's a big thing that the Cano suspension does, being able to slide McNeil back into second base to open up left field for Brandon Nimmo. Now the pieces are starting to come together. And I do think the Mets are in this position where they can go down four or five different roads. I mean, SNY, I saw today, tweeted out a graphic with, you know, everyone's player heads on each position. And it was, you know, which team do you want? And it was all the dream scenarios. You know, do you want the Nolan Arenado team where you have Andrés Giménez at short? Do you want Francisco Lindor with Andrés Giménez at third? And is Springer in center? Or is Jackie Bradley in center? And who's that catcher, James McCann or JT Realmuto? There's so many different ways the Mets can play with things right now and adjust their roster and spend in free agency. I just don't think it's worth it to blow half of the money you're about to be able to spend on a single player. Because if Trevor Bauer gets 5 years, $150 million to the Mets, or even that 7 year 205 number I threw out, whatever it ends up being, and he's going to cost you $30 million next season. If he goes out and has one of his regressions to the mean where he has a 4.2 ERA, that's a sunk cost. If Trevor Bauer, who has been very durable throughout his career, gets hurt, that's a sunk cost. Another way to look at it, let's say Stroman were to be the one that gets hurt, or even DeGrom, worst case scenario. Yes, you will be very happy you have Trevor Bauer there to absorb either of those losses. At the same time, what's the back end of your rotation going to look like? And if the Mets could take that same amount of money, that $30 million, and get two pitchers and bring in bullpen arms for that, maybe you're not even talking about stars. Maybe it's one star you bring in, and then you just really build out the depth of this roster. Maybe they just signed George Springer, and then they get James McCann, and they mix things around, adding to their bullpen, their rotation, all of it. It's a more complete team. And I don't think that the surplus value in that one position that Trevor Bauer will provide is going to help you more than what you can get on the market across 162 games. Especially when you're talking about a free agent market where the top of the market isn't necessarily where you want to be shopping. Because it's the middle of the market where you're going to find some sunk costs, where guys aren't going to get what they want, where you can get some steals on short deals as guys are going to want to reset their value. So you can probably get a lot more spreading the wealth around a little bit and not just only focusing on the gourmet items. I know Sandy Alderson is excited about being able to shop gourmet, but you need to get your meat and potatoes too and go around the league and get a team that fits together, that works, that can really win and survive a marathon of a season. And as much as Trevor Bauer is a great starting pitcher coming off an awesome year, I don't think that is the player you're going to find right now in free agency where you're going to get the most value. I think that even if Trevor Bauer were to take some truth serum, put on his business hat, he might be one to tell you that Trevor Bauer himself is not the best option in free agency this year if you're really trying to maximize the money you're spending. That's just the way I feel about it. Next week, I want to talk about George Springer. Don't know if I can squeeze four shows out of him the way I was able to kind of squeeze this Bauer conversation. But I definitely am going to talk about George Springer and what he could bring to the Mets, because I think he is right now the top name I would be targeting if I'm in the Mets front office. Anyway, have a great weekend. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.